Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA is recorded in New York on August 2nd, 2017. Ann and Andy have lots of news to report on about the ongoing atrocities of the Donald Trump administration in Washington, how they've been attacking the rights of LGBT people, and what was behind the transgender ban of soldiers serving in the U.S. military. All that and the rest of the LGBT news from New York City and around the world. So here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT news.
But we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And what's happening to this country?
Well, we're going to spend a lot of time on that tonight. If you don't want to hear us talk about Trump, now is the time to turn it off, because we got a lot to say tonight.
And we're going to go into more detail than they go into in the New York Times and the Washington Post and give you more accurate information, because the outrage is really just really piled up this week and overflowed. Multiple attacks on LGBT rights and our health. And the rights and dignity of all people. I mean, we're not exaggerating.
When we last left you, they had just announced the or tweeted the
they,
ban.
He.
The royal we, they, him. He had just tweeted the proposed ban on transgender troops. And we were starting to get the blowback. The blowback is huge, but there are lots more details to fill in, although we were on the right track last week.
Are you sure that his is Trump's preferred pronoun?
I haven't asked him.
Okay. Trump sent two right-wing nominations to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC.
And he is appointing one leading anti-LGBT bigot to be our Ambassador for International Religious Freedom. When did that become a thing?
Never heard of it, but it's been around.
And another anti-LGBT bigot to be ambassador to the Netherlands. Why? Just to annoy them?
Exactly.
Okay.
And the fact that he's Dutch of ancestry.
The appointee, yes. Not Trump.
Yes. I don't know what's right. The labor movement has hit the human rights campaign for a snub of workers' rights.
It's an ugly story. We have two news stories this week of murders of transgender women, including T.T. Dangerfield, a 32-year-old black trans woman shot and killed in Atlanta.
I believe the 16th this year.
Yep.
The repeal of the Affordable Care Act, you might have seen on the news, failed. but now Trump is trying to defund it as we speak.
Oh, he's an evil, evil guy. All right. Well, we want to catch you up on the
yes,
military
it was the
stuff.
Week from hell. That's the cover of The New Yorker.
And that's only this week. Next week, who knows?
But we do agree with Trump on something.
That the White House is a dump.
And he has made it a dump.
No, I haven't been there for a long time, but I was part of a small group getting a little personal tour of the White House years ago from someone who worked there, including the Oval Office and all the ceremonial rooms and other offices and stuff. I was shocked at how tacky it was.
This wasn't in the Truman administration, was it? Because that's
not
when they had to move out.
It was,
and get it repaired.
It was perhaps the Nixon or Ford or Carter administration, somewhere in there. But it was really tacky. I'm not suggesting that Donald Trump be given a free hand to redecorate it, because that would be unspeakable.
Oh, my God.
But I have to agree that it's not an impressive place anyway.
I would say in many ways this was Trump's worst week. He had some setbacks and he perpetrated some things that were just awful.
I can't decide whether to say I hope so or I hope not.
Only so far.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot that this was the worst week. think. So let's start with all this transgender stuff. Now, of course, it all started with this tweet, this peremptory tweet that said transgender people can't serve in the military anymore.
And the assumption was among the cognoscenti that this was an attempt to distract from the Russia stuff. But that is not what the story was. And we told you last week that was not what the story was. No. But now we know more details of the story.
Well, why did it happen?
It happened because there was a defense bill that Trump wanted passed, a defense appropriation bill, because it includes a lot of money for his wall, his Mexico wall.
And it was being held up by, among others, fighting it, Vicky Hartzler, who brought this amendment that we told you last week failed. She's from Minnesota, I believe.
No,
right? Missouri. She's a far-right extremist.
She had proposed the amendment that would bar medical care for trans people in the military.
Just medical care. So Trump wants...
Well, the House defeated that.
Yes, narrowly. And she was going to try to bring it back.
She was freaked out. She was freaked out that the House defeated it. No one expected the House to defeat it, but a couple dozen Republicans voted with the Democrats to defeat it.
At the behest of the Defense Secretary, Mad Dog Mattis.
Who was on the phone to a lot of people.
Saying, don't do this.
Yes. So Vicky Hartzler freaks out, goes and talks to Mike Pence... And together they go to the president and say, we're not going to support your whole defense bill if you don't fix this thing with medical care for trans people in the military.
So he doesn't listen very closely, and there's some question about his stability and competence. But so he just says, well, just get rid of all of them. And then he does also tweet in that, we can't afford this medical care, of course, apparently.
Too disruptive.
All the medical care for transgender people could be paid for by 4 trips to his golf course.
Well, could also be paid for by 1/4 of what they are spending on Viagra for members of the military.
Yeah. So there it is. That's apparently why he did it. And we thought, okay, maybe this will fade away because the resistance to this was unbelievable. We talked about that last week, that Orrin Hatch and Richard Shelby and all these unexpected people, conservative senators saying, oh, don't do this.
Well, and now the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff very quickly spoke up, Dubner, and said, a tweet is not policy until we get an official policy from the White House and the Pentagon. We will continue to treat all our members of the military with respect. We are not changing a thing. And then the commandant of the Coast Guard said, I am against this and I'm going to protect my transgender service members.
Sure.
These people, are their heads on the chopping block? 52.
They're not his generals.
52 retired generals and admirals have signed a letter supporting trans people serving.
The majority of the American people support transgender military service. 58% agreed that transgender people should be allowed to serve in the military.
This is a cruel, cynical, and evil move on the part of the president.
By a cynical, evil man.
Who did it on the spur of the moment because he wanted to have money to build his wall and was not willing to fight these right-wing crazies,
so
Vicky Hartzler and Steve King from Iowa.
If you thought it was going to go away, The Hill is reporting that the Pentagon has been instructed to draft guidance barring transgender people from serving in the armed forces.
I really thought there was a chance it might go away, and I still think there is a chance it might go away, but... this week, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is now referred to as Sarah Huckster Sanders, because she cannot give a straight answer to anything, was asked at one of the White House press briefings about what was happening with this policy. And she said, we are working in a comprehensive way to talk to everyone to establish the guidelines for the new policy. Now, since she lies about everything, right, it's certainly possible that we don't have to take that seriously. But the word is that the Pentagon has been told to draft guidelines for kicking all trans people out of the military.
Now, our folks, on the legal side at least, and also from group, the major LGBT rights groups, but and other civil rights groups, but our side is looking at a legal strategy to stop this if they decide to go through with it.
Shannon Minter at the National Center for Lesbian Rights, who is a trans man, was quite adamant about the fact that there would be a legal strategy that would talk about equal protection and, non-fact-based bigotry and stuff. But the history of the court's relationship to the military is that the courts have given complete deference to the military. We had a hard time trying to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell. We got a few little favorable court decisions or on individual cases, but it had to be the Congress that got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well, it's nice that the Defense Secretary, Jim Mattis, is sympathetic to transgender troops, but the new Chief of Staff, John Kelly, is not.
Right. He's the one who's been kicking immigrants out right and left. He's been happily and vociferously and energetically following the president's orders to crack down on every immigrant in the country, every illegal, undocumented, whatever immigrant in the country, for no reason, and just picking people off the streets, out of PTA meetings, baseball games, and throwing them out.
Fascism, folks. This is what fascism looks like. You know, you read about World War II, you read about the fascists. How can people let this happen? It's happening in this country.
So one thing that has been mentioned is that there are a dozen other countries, at least, who welcome trans people in the military. Canada, the United Kingdom, Israel, all happily and peacefully have trans people serving. That could be helpful if we weighed in with that.
There is a former Navy surgeon, Christine McGinn, who is transgender herself, who will waive the cost of gender confirmation surgery for some military personnel if the military is not going to pay for this.
I don't think that's going to make a difference.
No, I'm just saying
people
are responding. Yeah. People
are responding. An out gay Republican, John Flaherty from Delaware, withdrew as the nominee for Assistant Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security because of this issue. He said, sorry, I don't want to serve in this administration.
19 attorneys general have petitioned Congress to pass a bill protecting transgender troops. And that's, so if Orrin Hatch and Shelby and all these conservatives are serious about this, they can pass legislation that would override what Trump is doing. That's what happened when Clinton, I was going to say tried, he didn't try very hard, to open up service to gays in the military. Mm-hmm. Congress intervened and took over. Sam Nunn, a Democrat who was head of armed services, and they stopped it. And he didn't veto the unconstitutional bill.
Now, here's a little angle. Transgender kids of military service members, non-trans military service members who have trans kids, those trans kids are getting medical care now through the military system. Are they now going to be cut off?
It's a good question.
I was disappointed that Maggie Haberman, who I know gets a lot of praise, but for whom I have not an enormous amount of respect, because she keeps talking about how pro-gay Trump is, and she...
Well, so let's just set it up. Maggie Haberman, in April of 2016, during the campaign, mm-hmm. wrote this article saying he's the most pro-LGBT Republican ever, which was a lie. Mike Signorelli did a great job, and we've talked about it on this show, about how all that was a lie. He holds up a flag. He had Roy Cohn as a lawyer. Roy Cohn was a self-hating homosexual who died of AIDS.
So who does Maggie Haberman go talk to about this issue? Gay Republicans, who were extremely mealy-mouthed
about
the whole
thing. And she talks to Richard Socarides, who said, oh, my goodness, who used to work for Clinton. She doesn't mention that Richard Socarides wrote the talking points for the Defense of Marriage Act. She doesn't mention that. He's just a gay rights activist. But quotes him as saying, my goodness, we might lose marriage now. Really? we're going to lose it if he gets his appointees to the court.
One more on the court, and
that's
it's
all it
gone.
Takes. Sorry to alarm you, but, we're here to give you the truth, unlike the New York Times. And the Washington Post did a similar story about this past week, saying, because Maggie does another story, and the Post does another story, how they're all shocked at how it's all turning out, and how bad Trump is on LGBTQ issues.
And how Ivanka...
Don't you watch the show?
Ivanka doesn't have much influence, as if she cares.
But, I mean, these reporters, and Maggie Haberman has done a good job on other things and some other things, as has the Post, all these papers, but they don't care enough to find out what's really happening on it. They thought they had a cute angle on it, sort of, on Trump, and it's a lie. It's always been a lie.
But I have to talk
You softened up some of the electorate to vote for this son of a gun.
Gave
you
them excuses.
Did, with front page stories like that.
Yeah.
I blame you. I also blame you for the Iraq War. Because, you know, you soften people up on that as well.
I blame George Bush and Donald Trump.
Well,
but here's, I have to mention what for me was the most depressing moment in all of this.
Yes.
You know, I'm angry about all of it, but the moment that really broke my heart was watching Trump either the same day or the next day or maybe the day after doing his ceremony in the White House for the heroes who had saved Steve Scalise and the other Congress members, and watching Crystal Griner, out lesbian, stand there, married lesbian, standing there at the right in the midst of this heat about the transgender troops, standing there and accepting this honor,
and then him leaning in to kiss her.
Yeah. Well, trust me, if it were me, I either would not have been there or would have spoken up quite loudly in the midst of it to slap him in the face.
I would have gone and pulled an Eartha Kitt, and I would have said, this is my opportunity to say what has to be said to this monster.
Yep.
Mr. President, what you are doing to LGBT people, what you are doing to transgender people
is an outrage. To the country.
Yes. Well, yes, of course, and that's what we're going to get into. But before we finish up on the transgender, it was nice to see that the mayor of Austin, Texas, responded to all this throwing the transgender troops out by saying, come and work for us in the city police department.
Great.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that people are doing. People are responding to this. And
well, that is the silver lining.
It's nice that they're doing it. And, of course, we're all upset with Trump. But lest we forget, they didn't even start to open up transgender service until last year under Obama. It took that long.
Yeah. But they were on track to move forward on it, and this is just disgusting.
Well, and
I have to repeat, cruel and cynical.
Oh, it's
because
sickening.
It was just done for him to get this bill passed. And
now it's got to be policy because he never goes back on anything. He never apologizes for anything. I mean, even though he signed the Russian sanctions bill, he was complaining about it while he was doing it. God damn it, you know.
Well, someone said today, you know, normally a president signing a bill like that, even if he didn't like it, would have made a statement about the sins of Russia and the reason for this bill. But he signed it talking about the sins of Congress.
I mean, he is so much like Putin, who also used attacks on LGBT rights to solidify his base.
Well, as you know, we've been a scapegoat everywhere for years.
We have.
And we continue to be. And we'll talk more about that as we go along.
You know, for a while, Trump was picking on other people like Mexicans and Muslims. Oh, I love the story this week that American Muslims are much more likely to be accepting of homosexuality.
52% in a Pew Research Center poll.
Than white evangelicals. and that American Muslims have made much more progress in the last several years, partly because, you know, they're being stigmatized and attacked in ways that we are.
Look, as I said many years ago when we used to go into the schools of the New York City metropolitan area to talk to kids about these issues, it was a whole lot easier to go into oppressed communities which understood discrimination and oppression than to go to the elite private schools where they're so tight, and I am a product of those private schools, and so unwilling to say anything that would threaten their privilege.
Yes, indeed. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. Well, all right. Other Trump sins.
Well, I mean, you know, we told you last week that the Justice Department was going to intervene in this Second Circuit case to say that discrimination based on sex under Title VII does not cover sexual orientation discrimination, and they did.
Or gender identity discrimination.
Yes, yes. And then the Justice Department launched this whole thing that they haven't launched it, but they're going to launch it, an investigation of colleges for discriminating against white applicants. Oh, my God.
I have to say, because usually I rag on them all the time, that the one of the most intelligent, calm, in-depth discussions I heard about of this week was on The View, where they had both conservative and liberal voices. They decided to have a calm discussion and go over the real issues and the history of racism and the unequal footing that remains, and it was very well done.
Well, I hope people are listening.
More intelligently done than at DOJ, evidently.
And the other thing, of course, you know, the biggest news of the week was the fact that John McCain came through and voted against repeal of the Affordable Care Act. But, you know, it highlights the fact that, and of course, Trump is threatening to defund the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing he's doing on the Iran nuclear deal. He wants to destroy both of them just by what he can do with executive action.
And don't forget, they're doing the budget and they're doing tax cuts now. But the only people that have been given a blank check are the military, and the money we're wasting there, folks. We got to rise up about this.
Well, they're not being given a blank check to provide medical care to transgender service
members. It's a bottomless money pit. It could pay for all this stuff if we got sane about the way we spend money on the military. We're not, you know, the world power that we were. We don't need, you know, troops here, there, and everywhere.
Let's move on to the appointments.
Well, we can.
I also
wanted to mention what the State Department is doing this week. They are drafting a new mission statement to get rid of a U.S. commitment to a just and democratic world. They want to take these things out of that. We were never that good at that stuff before.
Well, we paid a lot of lip service to human rights, whether we followed through or not, but we'll have no more of that. It's all about fracking around the world.
And before we got started on the transgender stuff, the thing that was outraging me the most was, of course, what Trump said about what the police should commit police violence. I think if anything he should be impeached for, that's what he should be impeached for. His job is executing the laws of the United States, and he was telling everybody, break them.
Their excuse now is he was joking.
Oh.
And I would say this. He did say it semi-facetiously, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a serious attitude of we should be breaking the heads of these, unindicted, innocent till guilty people who are being arrested.
Well, we're not going to have Anthony Scaramucci to kick around anymore.
Talk about a relief pitcher who comes in to strike out one batter.
I had five Anthony Scaramucci stories here to give you, and it's kind of pointless at this point. His wife is divorcing him, but one of the things that came out this week, we don't know if it was the thing that tipped the balance for him, was that he is a big follower on Twitter. We got a picture here of Blake Mitchell from Helix Studios, a very prominent porn star. I don't know why you're following him. I don't know why your wife is divorcing you. She says it's not over your political ambition.
That was the story.
But she said that's not the reason. It's private.
Oh, well, then that picture becomes more relevant.
There was that New Yorker interview and all the stuff about, you know, gay sex acts that he was accusing everybody else of. And Mario Cantone was playing him on Comedy Central's President
Show. Well, this is poor Mario Cantone.
Yes.
He's the big loser
last
week because there goes his job on Saturday Night Live.
All comedians are losers. We're the losers.
No, but he was going to have quite a future on Saturday Night Live.
Well, he was doing it on the President Show on Comedy Central.
Not the same.
All right, let's go to the appointments.
Okay.
Let's start with the EEOC. It's only a 5 or maybe 6 member commission, and it's been very good to us. It has affirmed that discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity is sex discrimination.
Right.
And they still hold that position, but Trump has appointed a new chairperson, or nominated a new chairperson. Her name is Janet. Where are you, Janet? Janet.
The good stuff was due to Hi Feldblum, who has been running things there for under the Obama administration, and she just did a brilliant, brilliant job of leading the commission in the right direction.
All right. So Janet Dillon has been nominated to be the chair. She's a corporate lawyer. And and she has donated to people like Ted Cruz, Rick Perry, and John McCain.
Make up your mind, Janet.
But the other appointee is a guy named Daniel Gade, an Iraq war veteran who his big issue is campaigning against disability payments for veterans. They're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. They're more likely to live alone. You've seen these guys, and the system is driving you to become one of them if you're not careful. So he wants to cut off disability payments to veterans.
So PTSD is not a concept he's familiar with?
This is the guy. And he's not a lawyer, which is okay. I was on the Human Rights Commission in New York. Most of us weren't lawyers. But, you know, you don't have to be a lawyer. But this guy is really
something. Don't hold your breath for the EEOC continuing to be a beacon of light in this administration. One of the astounding proposed nominations, Sam Brownback, former member of Congress, then became the governor of Kansas, ruined the economy of Kansas.
Drove them into the ground through cost-cutting stuff.
Tax cuts.
Even the Republicans there are standing up to him now.
The legislature finally vetoed his latest budget.
Has a lower popularity rating than Chris Christie.
So the Trump administration is airlifting him out of Kansas and into this new job, Ambassador for International Religious Freedom. So in the past, we had these independent right-wing evangelical groups traveling the globe, spreading anti-LGBT bigotry wherever they went, Russia, Africa, all over the place. Now we have an actual ambassador from the U.S. government to carry out that work.
And this is under the umbrella of the State Department. Sam Brownback is just one of the worst people in the world.
Equaled perhaps by Peter Hoekstra, who is a former representative from Michigan, one of the founders of the Tea Party.
Fervent opponent of same-sex marriage and abortion rights, co-sponsored 9 anti-LGBT bills, et cetera. So where do they want? And he's very anti-Muslim. So they want to make him ambassador to the Netherlands, one of the most liberal countries in the world.
All right.
Then there is Bill Shine was the former co-president of Fox News, had to leave in the scandal over not dealing with sexual harassment. They're talking about him for communications director at the White House.
So you've got one more.
And then Amy Coney Barrett has been nominated to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. She has written that judges should put their religious faith ahead of the law in certain cases. And she also serves as an attorney for George Bush in Bush v. Gore.
So the deal is that we've just gone through a list of issues, things we're upset about, real harm that the Trump administration is committing. And that's not even to talk about the way they're going to destroy air and water quality with repealing regulations by the EPA and the Interior Department, soiling, fouling public lands, destroying certainly health care, destroying civil rights in the Justice Department. You can go down the entire list of the Education Department and Betsy DeVos, everything they're doing. And yet the press... And I'm with the press on all their revelations about Russia and collusion, but I think they're a little too narrowly focused.
Agreed.
And I think we really have to broaden this out. You know, you wonder why people still support Trump. Well, if all they're hearing is the Russia stuff and they think the press is just obsessed with this, no wonder. If the press got a little more specific about with the same vigor on these issues of what he's doing to the country, I think there could be a change.
The press's obsession, let's just say it, cable news' obsession with Trump's craziness is what drove the election last year. Every time he was going to say something crazy, they put it on the screen, they put his whole speech on the screen. So there was nothing else but Trump out there that they were covering. And it's the same kind of a thing that they're doing now. And it's all about keeping eyeballs on the screen.
But they're also making a big mistake because the press and all these experts they bring on, and I love some of these experts. Richard Painter, I'm just crazy about him. He was the ethics guy for Bush.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And he's now sitting there night after night.
Oh, is that the guy bringing guys on like this? Oh, man.
Could we get through 1 week without obstruction of justice? I love him. They're all trying to hold him to some standard of normalcy in political functioning. And that's exactly what his people hate. Yeah. So they're not getting anywhere by trying to put that out as a standard. And they're not analyzing what the chaos is really meant to do.
Certainly.
Give me 1 second.
All right.
I just don't want to lose this thought. I want them to analyze what the Trump administration is really up to with this chaos to make them look more closely and seriously at this plan for deconstruction of the government. They really want to destroy normal governing.
Right. The press was successful in getting people to understand what was going on with the healthcare thing to the point that it had a 15% approval rating.
Yes, people all over the country went and stopped it.
Yes. And I think some Trump supporters were waking up to the fact that they were going to lose their health care.
Well, they are in the minority. So if you can energize and educate everybody else, you can overcome this. But the press sort of looks at the Trump supporters and says, gets a quote from them about, oh, yeah, I still love this guy. That's what I set him there for. And then they turn away. They don't analyze what's really going on here and the hunger for this chaos and what that means to this country and its existence and whether we are in fact headed down a road of destruction of the country.
Yes, we are.
And I want them to take that more seriously. I will offer one hopeful insight.
Go ahead.
It occurred to me this week when Trump started doing The Apprentice, sky-high ratings, huge approval. But after a couple of years, nosedive.
And it turns out he didn't pick the people who were going to get fired. He would just come in and say, who am I firing this week?
Well, I'm not sure he's picking them this time either, and he's certainly not doing the firing. But I just want to offer that as a sign of hope that people do get tired of him after a while. And then the ratings nosedive.
There is some resistance in this administration. The U.S. mission to Vietnam is announcing a competitive grant to support civil society coordination of government recommendations to implement policies to protect transgender rights and to support LGBTI individuals within Vietnamese families. This competitive program will award a grant of up to $25,000 to qualified organizations. So that stuff is still coming out of the civil service.
I am old enough to find the acute and exquisite irony when Vietnam turns out to be a more progressive and democratic country than the United States of America.
We didn't even talk about the Boy Scouts yet.
Must we?
Well, I mean,
another disgusting and evil event.
An unbelievable one that I think is getting people to see, just how awful he is. And the fact that the Boy Scouts had to apologize for this and had to say that it's inappropriate.
I think the fact that the Boy Scouts did apologize for it is what's so stunning about this, because they were not willing to sit still for this. And the Boy Scouts certainly have had a long history of being deeply conservative. And when you have offended the Boy Scouts, when the President of the United States is capable of offending the Boy Scouts to the extent that they have to put out a statement like that, that is cataclysmic.
And I give credit to Randall Stephenson, the President of the Boy Scouts, because he's got a mega merger sitting on the table now over there in Washington that needs approval. So he was reluctant to do this.
Well, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out with the resistance beginning to bubble up to more of the establishment.
But Trump did go away from that because what he heard was cheers. And that's what I heard, too, watching it. I didn't hear anybody.
Sure.
I didn't hear any dissent out there and saying, oh, stop this. Or somebody on the stage saying, oh, whoa.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders was there and she heard cheers.
Rick Perry was being Tom Price was being humiliated by the president on the stage. Anyway, and then, of course, there's the more on transgender rights. They're looking at, you know, taking away guarantees that we're going to be covered under the ACA, under regulations and things, and transgender care and things like that. Okay, other places. So we go to the States?
All right, we can finally leave Trump aside for the moment now that we've done more than half the show on him. We'll move on to other things. Well, we might as well talk about the trans murders. In Atlanta, T.T. Dangerfield, 32 years old.
We have a picture
of her
shot
dead. Evidently the 16th trans woman this year that we know of, documented, who was murdered.
And this is in the wake of some nationally syndicated radio talk show host, who I won't mention, denigrating and devaluing the lives of black transgender
women. I mean, that's
women.
A horrible thing that they did that. I'm not sure we can pin this on them directly.
Well, it's part of the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going on. At the same time, we have the support that we've talked about. And then in Michigan, Dwanya Hickerson, 21 years old, met Dee Wiggum, 25 years old, online. Dee was a registered nurse and a trans woman. They met a year ago. They got together, and when he realized she was trans, he stabbed her 119 times.
Of something we call overkill.
The fact that they can even count that many stab wounds is astonishing. He has now been sentenced to 40 years for the murder, plus 16 years for robbing her, too. That's when you start to wonder about the motives for this. And he apologized. The family is outraged that he got only 40 years for such a vicious, heinous, horrible murder, but...
We told you about a Phoenix LGBT youth center which was torched by a man very casually in broad daylight.
A client of the center.
Earlier this month. Well, the openly lesbian WNBA star Brittany Griner has donated $5,000 to make it a safe zone.
Yeah,
again.
But he was a client of the center. He had some beef or problem going on. Good news from Southern California, where the Laurel Foundation, which runs summer camps for kids who are HIV positive, is expanding the camps to include transgender kids in the midst of all this controversy.
Good news from Alabama, where the 11th Circuit threw out a lawsuit by an attorney who was suing essentially the Supreme Court over the Obergefell decision. You don't got any standing, you can't show any harm, and your arguments are terrible.
Ridiculous. Good news from the National Park Service, which has acceded to a request by activist Michael Petrelis and will fly a rainbow flag at the Stonewall National Monument on Christopher Street in New York City. You'd have thought we'd have it there already, but no.
Of course, we're going to lose that monument if they find any oil under it.
or natural gas.
We told you about the Catholic Bishop of Springfield, Illinois, Bishop Thomas Paprocki. He has expanded on who's banned from communion. So the divorced and remarried without an annulment, they can go to communion if they live as brother and sister. Two men who live chastely with each other as friends or as brother and brother, or two women who live chastely, blah, blah, may receive Holy Communion if there is no public scandal. And to top, he added, politicians and judges who make same-sex marriage legal or aid and abet abortion may not go to Holy Communion anymore.
Why do we even talk about these people?
Well, I hope it drives people away from the church.
Well, they're driving people away in Chicago, where the Evangelical Apostolic Church of God has kicked out a member because she married her girlfriend. And this got announced on Facebook. She was a longtime member of the church. Her mother was a longtime member of the church. Her grandmother was a longtime member of the church. But that didn't matter to the pastor, who said, no, we're not doing this. So people held a demonstration outside the church, which is good.
We held a demonstration outside the U.S. attorney in Brooklyn because they shut down rentboy.com, which had been it's a service for escorts that had been operating for 18 years. They'd been in the Pride Parade. The Fed shut it down, and we protested.
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Harrant, who ran it, was just sentenced. Now, the guidelines said, 18 months to 2 years, something like that. And the judge gave him
6 months.
Yes.
And the only reason he got that was because he had pleaded guilty. He entered into a plea deal where he pleaded guilty to promoting prostitution. Now, the fact is, this is an online service where guys would advertise their availability for escort services.
Yes.
Or whatever, and clients would find them there. And it was all very adult and consensual and all of that.
And it made it safer for the
absolutely.
For the guys.
And why this has to be illegal is a mystery to me. And why he didn't get probation rather than a prison sentence. You know, does he really need to go to jail for 6 months or
right.
any length of time?
Well, he had a lot of support in the community.
You want to tell us about the HRC?
I got a call from Randy Weingarten, who was the out lesbian head of the American Federation of Teachers, and there's something called the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights and Human Rights, and it's a big thing in Washington. It's 200 organizations, and they put together a letter just to support a group of African American workers in Canton, Mississippi, who just want to organize peacefully and are being stopped by Nissan and being harassed by Nissan. And so that's all it was a letter signed on. So they reached out
to support the rights of the workers to take a vote on unionization.
Yes. Not the walk a picket line, not a strike, just
vote
that.
Vote could fall where it might, but to at least have the opportunity to vote.
So they reached out to the 17, what they consider the 17 major human rights organizations, including the Human Rights Campaign.
And which is a board member of the Leadership
right.
Conference, a longtime collaborator.
The only two to say no to this were the Urban League, which can be very conservative and corporate, and the Human Rights Campaign, which can be very conservative and corporate. And it seemed like they would not say what their reason is. They said, we support workers' rights. That's the only quote that they would give me for the story.
But not enough to sign on to the letter.
But,
not enough to work in collaboration with other civil rights and human rights groups.
They apparently, according to Lee Saunders, who's the president of AFSCME International, said, that they didn't want to offend Nissan, who was like a collaborator with them, who has a good LGBT rights record. And Pride at Work said, you know what? You rate these corporations and say they're great on all these issues, but you don't look at how their workers are treated. And the only protection that many LGBT people have in many parts of this country where we don't have laws is from a union contract, where it says in the contract you can't discriminate on the basis of LGBT issues. So,
and just because you are getting financed to some extent by Nissan or any other corporation is no reason not to be truthful and progressive in speaking up on these kinds of issues.
But, I mean, the Human Rights Campaign does some good work. They're down there in Texas right now trying to stop that horrible bill, and we hope we can stop it in the House, the anti-transgender.
It passed in the House. No.
It's passed in the Senate.
Oh.
And it's Joe Strauss, who's the Speaker of the House, who was putting up some resistance, and we'll see if he comes through on that.
Yeah, because it's SB3, Senate
right.
bill.
So,
All right.
And we appreciate, the bulletins you send out, HRC and things like that. But we need to all do this together. They get a lot of support from labor, and they need to reciprocate.
Yes. They need to learn that we have to work together. It's this, divide and conquer works very nicely. You have to resist that.
Now, speaking of the rainbow flag, there's a new kids book that's going to come out on Harvey Milk and our friend Gilbert Baker.
Pride, the story of Harvey Milk and the rainbow flag.
A children's book, and it's great. And, apparently, Harvey was the...
There's a picture of Gilbert making the flag.
There he is.
The illustrations are by Stephen Salerno. The text is by Rob Sanders. It's due out in spring of 2018.
Okay. All right.
Can we move on to international news?
Yes. Okay. We don't want to forget what's going on in Chechnya. And there's a new report out from the Russian LGBT network documenting how this all happened, what's still happening over there. And we don't want to lose that story.
Well, and in a similar vein, there is a lesbian couple who have just fled Uganda. One, a badminton star, Megan Nankabirwa, and her partner have fled to the United Kingdom. They were chased by an angry mob, and in the United Kingdom, they've been separated. They're having to fight for asylum. But a lot of this is going on all over.
But in Namibia, they had their first LGBT pride parade, and it's a very brave thing to do there. And they got 150 people. Do we have a picture? We got it out there? Out on the streets. They were out there. Yes.
And in, but back to bad news.
There they are.
There they are.
Having a great
time. They're so cute in Windhoek, Namibia. In Nigeria, the government has arrested 42 men, accusing them of being gay. They were having an HIV event, testing, education at a hotel, and government forces swept in and actually arrested 70.
In Lagos.
They let 28 go, and they're 42 who are still locked up.
Homosexual acts are punishable up to 14 years in jail in Namibia. And again, don't forget, there are judges that Trump has nominated already that want to reinstate the sodomy laws in New York, and they haven't been repealed in a lot of states, so they can just be revived once they make that decision.
And the Supreme Court could overturn the Lawrence v. Texas decision.
Yes, they could.
That overturned the right. Bowers v. Hardwick decision, so they could go backwards on that, too, for
That's
the whole
right.
country.
That's right.
And there's a strange story out of Toronto where two gay men separately have gone missing in the last couple of months. And this follows on the heels of several others who went missing between 2010 and 2012.
They're all middle-aged and they've got beards.
So,
and they may have met on social media.
Well, there were, yes. And there were stories of twice as many men who'd gone missing over the last few years. But half of them turned up fine. So we don't really know what's going on there.
They had a big community meeting about it up
they're
there.
They're wondering whether there is a serial killer operating, but they really don't have any information or data on this yet. But we'll keep an eye on any developments there.
Ana Brnabic, the new prime minister of Serbia, out lesbian, says, "I do not want to be branded Serbia's gay PM."
In South Korea, a couple of things.
Yep.
The Supreme Court has told the government to stop interfering with the legal registration of a nonprofit group, Beyond the Rainbow Foundation.
That's good.
The
other story is bad. There are 300 organizations have banded together to oppose providing equal rights regardless of sexual orientation, and they think it's bringing confusion
in the new constitution that's being written
to Korean society.
These are right-wing groups trying to interfere. In Australia,
what is going on?
Well, it's still quite confused. There was the thinking.
This is about same-sex marriage. They haven't done it because the conservative government promised that they were going to have some kind of a referendum before they would do it, and even then, they might not do it.
Well, the problem is it's a coalition government, not unlike the UK these days. And there are right-wing conservatives who are stopping the government from doing anything progressive because they'll walk away and then the government will lose power and the prime minister will be out.
Malcolm Turnbull, who is the prime minister, is for LGBT rights.
He's for same-sex marriage, but he cannot move ahead with the conservatives threatening to destroy his government. Of course, I would say do it anyway.
Well, they might, because there are members of his party, and it's called the Liberal Party, even though it's a conservative party. They are saying that they're ready to bring this forward and to cross the aisle. And he says, well, we don't punish people for that in our party.
Which is why this is a little step forward. But there's still a fear that this is all going to blow up by the conservatives threatening the government. So hints that it might be solved in the next week or two, but nothing guaranteed. Meanwhile, in Israel, the government has said it's okay for about 100 right-wing Orthodox anti-gay demonstrators to have a space at the Jerusalem Pride celebrations.
Well, we don't disagree that people should be able to protest.
Yeah,
if
but
they
2 years
protest.
Ago, one of them murdered one of the participants.
We're gonna end the right to protest?
No, but
we like to protest them.
Yeah, well, perhaps people should go to Brighton, England, where the Pet Shop Boys will be appearing at Pride. That could be nicer.
Are you going, Bill? Oh, look, there they are.
And the out-gay Irish Prime Minister is going to show up at Pride in Belfast, Northern Ireland, along with uniformed cops who have marched before but not in uniform, and they're marching in uniform this year to talk about no hate crimes. So Belfast, Northern Ireland Pride,
which
should
is be not part of the Republic of Ireland, it's part of Northern Ireland. So if you now that you can get married in Bermuda because of a court decision, Cunard is offering a lot of gay marriage packages on their ships,
along with the Princess Cruises and the P&O Cruises, and you get a Bermuda marriage license, which is kind of cool.
And they've already been doing it on their British cruises for a while.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Now,
and Indonesia is rejecting the United Nations recommendation to curtail their anti-LGBTQ human rights violations. Very dire situation there.
AIDS news and HIV news, as we've been urged to include. The Centers for Disease Control has come out with its latest statistics, which are actually from 2014, because these stats tend to lag. They say that there are 1.1 million people living with HIV in the United States. 85% of them have been diagnosed. I don't know how you know that you've diagnosed 85%. Maybe you've diagnosed 10%. Who knows? If the others are undiagnosed, how would you know? But they say 85%. 62% have been linked to care. 48% of those have been retained in care. 49%, they say, have undetectable virus.
Well, UnitedHealthcare is seeing what they can do to make those numbers go up. They're denying access to Truvada for PrEP because people are gay and at high risk. It's insane.
Well, they actually wrote to one guy who had applied for coverage of Truvada's PrEP that he was being rejected because he was engaging in high-risk homosexual behavior.
Which is why you might use Truvada.
How would they know he is engaging in any of that?
And maybe they Googled him.
I don't know.
It's awful. There's a big campaign to get them to stop doing this.
On the other hand, in the Philippines, the Department of Health is starting to put people into trials to test PrEP. Because they're in favor of it.
Now, Trump is going to decide next week whether to stop making Obamacare patients. I'm on Obamacare, and I've already gotten my notice from Empire Blue Cross that they will no longer offer my policy.
Well, maybe that'll change by the end of the year. They're working feverishly to fix it.
Might even get
and
worse.
I did watch Memories of a Penitent Heart on PBS, which was a really intimate and thoughtful documentary about a woman searching for the truth about her uncle's death from AIDS and turning up his ex-lover and talking to the family and everything. It was really quite good, and it's available online at pbs.org, Memories of a Penitent Heart.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Frank Ocean.
Oh, Frank Ocean, who we've talked about periodically
there
for years on this show, out bisexual figure, singer, and famous for being very successful and popular, although he's totally antithetical to the way music operates these days because he's very quiet and very very emotional. And
let's read what
passionate.
His T-shirt says.
He appeared at a big concert on Randall's Island here in New York over the weekend. He hadn't sung in public for several years. And his T-shirt says,
why be racist, sexist, homophobic, or transphobic when you
could just be quiet?
Ah, very nice. Sweet.
Very, very nice. It's a great message, and appeared in the New York Times like that. That was a nice spreading of the message.
Well, you know, James Corden on the Late Show on CBS did a thing right after the transgender troop ban that Trump announced. And, you know, Trump doesn't know what LGBT stands for, but James Corden does. And he sang for the transgender troops on his show. And if you get on our email list, we will include the link to that wonderful thing that he did, that little song and dance number, which is very, very pointed.
Okay. Everybody was quite taken or hit by the death of Sam Shepard this week.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about him?
Well, Sam Shepard was, I think, a great playwright and actor. I enjoyed his acting very much. But when he started out,
he didn't enjoy his acting very much.
He did an awful lot of it.
Yeah, but he complained about being stereotyped and how he really wanted to just be a playwright.
Well. But he got his start, the Times said, the off-Broadway movement. No, it was the off-Broadway movement in cafes, Cafe Chino. And almost all the other guys that he worked with were
Cafe
gay.
Cafe La Mama and others.
Were gay. I mean, people like Doric Wilson and Robert Patrick and Lanford Wilson and William Hoffman, all these people. So, I mean, this is in the early 60s, pre-Stonewall. That's the environment in which his creativity grew out of.
Well, I can't claim any particular LGBT content to this, but I thought overshadowed by the news of Sam Shepard's death was the news of Jean Moreau's death.
One of the greatest of all time actresses.
Jules et Jim, of course, the most signature movie. She was 89. It just made me think about all the iconic women who I've watched in these movies over the years, people like Catherine Deneuve or Charlotte Rampling and right. Jean Moreau and all the others, and how important they were as images to me and how iconic.
The Bride Wore Black was a great one.
Well, and then she married your favorite director, Billy Friedkin, for a couple of years. That was a little depressing. But Jean Moreau was just stunning in her intelligence and the depth of her beauty.
And worked forever and aged in the business and was just one of the 89,
fantastic.
I think. Right?
Yes.
All right. I've been, a viewer wrote, when are you going to talk about Will Shakespeare on TNT? And I have been watching it. I'm not completely caught up.
Andy watches Will on TNT, and I watch Claws on TNT.
We're going to talk about that. But so this is like it's sort of like Shakespeare in Love on steroids, and it's very, very vulgar. It's very violent. The whole big subplot is that he's really a Catholic, and they're after Catholics, and they're torturing them. And when they torture them, they torture them. But, all right, so the other character who was up there, with Will was on the right. That's Laurie Davidson, played by Laurie Davidson. But Marlowe, who was played by Jamie Campbell Bauer, is really out there in terms of he's having gay orgies, he's doing all that stuff, and he tries to kiss Will, and I'm thinking, why is Will resisting this when you're bisexual? So I'm waiting to see if Will comes around. There's a lot of sex and violence in it.
Okay.
All right, it's good. And then vis-a-vis Claws, did you see that 1 million moms are attacking Claws?
No. Oh, that's a reason to be excited.
It has an extremely raunchy plot.
Yes.
And it's very offensive to Christians. Some of the explicit sexual content and graphic violence, we have never seen anything like it on basic cable.
Oh, well, you're not watching.
Well, you're not watching Will on TNT.
Wait till they get to that. Well, I continue to love Claws and am very happy to have discovered it. And our guest host and favorite movie reviewer, Chris Cooper, told us that he'd seen Atomic Blonde, the new Charlize Theron movie, and that she is very hot in it, and that it has great action.
He's recommending
it. A little confusing, but yeah.
Billy Porter and Stark Sands, the original cast of Kinky Boots, are coming back in September through January.
And if you're really looking ahead, in June 2018, the BBC is a BBC production. Man in the Orange Shirt is going to be on Masterpiece Theater.
Matt Gay is in the 40s, but Vanessa Redgrave plays a role in it, and she's wonderful.
Yeah.
And Silver Foxes, a gay variation of the Golden Girls, had a great reading apparently, but they can't get it produced. It's got and it involves
that,
people like George
for?
Takei. It's
theater,
for television,
TV?
Television, television.
All right. Not enough violence.
I guess not.
All right. Enough of this. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back here next week, and we will hope to see you then.
Thanks for joining us again this week, and I want to remind you about our website. That's gayusatv.org. That's gayusatv.org. Check out the website to see bios on Ann, Andy, and myself, as well as the history of our program, and you can watch the YouTube video directly from our website. That's gayusatv.org, and also share that address with your friends.